My name is Brad Hewitt. My pronouns are he and him, and I get the great joy of being your lay leader this morning. So thank you very much for being here, participating in this special day in this special place. I want to welcome you. If it's your first time walking in the door here, you saw this place down in the trees and thought you'd check it out, or if you're someone who's walked through our door 100 or 1,000 times, we're so glad that you're all here today in this community, in this space. And I also want to say that I want to welcome today Josh Rawlings. Josh is an award-winning Seattle-based musician and spiritual teacher. He's going to share his powerful life transformation, his spiritual evolution from Christianity to his universal approach today, and the key tools he uses to deepen into his daily practice of self-love and serenity. Josh is also a lifetime lover and practitioner of the healing power of live music, which you'll hear him share today. It's been a joy to work with Josh as he jumped right into the whole service with a huge yes. I finally had to say, hey, Josh, I got to be there too, sir. He was so ready to do everything. He's just an amazing man with a huge heart, so I'm happy to have him here today. So please take a second, stand up, and say hello to someone new or someone you know.
Hi.
Hi, Josh.
Welcome. This is my first time.
Please find a comfortable seat. Find a seat somewhere, if you could. Find a seat, and if you really want to confuse people, find a seat somewhere different than you were a minute ago. When they come back, they won't know where you are. All right, if Ada is here... Ada, hi. Please come forward as I talk about lighting our chalice. We light this flame to remind us that love is the center. As we grow and connect, mature, and deepen, love remains the center. When the light of truth burns all else away, love remains the center. Thanks, Ada. I have an opening affirmation written by Esther Hurlburt, which also talks about love being at the center. So different person. So fun to find this. It is not always easy to find love at the center. There's not a set of easy instructions, numbered 1 through 7 or 8. It's not always easy to find love at the center. Today, in Covenant, we celebrate our living tradition, which invites us to take a deep breath of fresh air into the newness of every day, so our minds, hearts, and spirits will be continually nourished. It is not always easy to find love at the center. So for today, we gather in covenant to celebrate the reality that love is the core of our beings and that love will guide us if we open ourselves to the challenges which love requires of us. May we accept this challenge with dignity and grace. Amen. And Josh will lead us in a song that a few of you might have heard before. It is a wonderful rendition.
Test, test, test. Hey, everybody. Let's warm up those vocal cords and make a joyful noise. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. And everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. In my neighbor's home, oh, in my neighbor's home, I'm gonna let it shine. In my neighbor's home, I'm gonna let it shine. In my neighbor's home, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Last line, one more time. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
We're going to rouse this day off one way or another. All right. If any children would like to come forward, children by any definition, we have a video today, actually, for a time for all ages, so feel free to come up, or you can sit where you are, and we can cue this whenever you want to.
Who Ever Heard of a Flying Bird? By David Conliffe, illustrated by Ivan Barrera. Living on an island in the middle of the sea, Pip and all the other birds relax beneath their tree. Her flock stayed on the ground. They never thought to fly. It sounded so ridiculous, they didn't even try. They lived there in the dirt, eating seeds from off the ground, or fruit that fell from off the tree, all squishy, old and browned. Island life was simple, and she lived a life of ease. Yet Pip still yearned for something more than life beneath the trees. Pip became determined to find a way up high. She had no clue of what to do, but knew she had to try. Pip started with the basics, something never tried before. And aiming for a piece of fruit, she jumped up off the floor. Sadly, this was not enough. She missed it by a mile. The others chirped and laughed at her and taunted with a smile. Who ever heard of jumping birds that leap and bound around? There's no such thing as jumping birds who won't stay on the ground. Pip was not a quitter, and she had another plan. She took off running in a dash, and up that tree she ran. Although she sprinted quickly, her tactic did not work. The others seemed amused by this, and looked on with a smirk. Who ever heard of running birds running up a tree? There's no such thing as running birds! The others quacked with glee. Pip was not quite finished. There were still more things to try. Next, she tried to flap her wings to reach the branch up high. She flapped and flapped and shook her wings and spun and danced around. But nothing changed and there she stood, feet firmly on the ground. Who ever heard of flapping birds flapping up and down? There's no such thing as flapping birds. You're silly like a clown! Pip had even more ideas. She tried to do them all. But every single thing she tried just ended in a fall. That night, she took a walk and found a place to sit. She thought, "This feels impossible. Maybe I should quit." While sitting there alone, a firefly flew by. Pip was just amazed to see a bug could fly so high. A feeling then came over her. She had to try once more. She knew it did not matter that no bird had flown before. She barely slept a wink that night. She rose before the dawn, then waddled slowly to the tree as all the birds looked on. Pip began to flap her wings, then took off with a dash. She made it pretty far this time, but landed with a crash. Whoever heard of flying birds like clouds up in the sky? Don't you know there's no such thing? We just aren't meant to fly. She thought of all her failures and she thought of all she'd learned. She looked at all the lumps and bumps and bruises that she'd earned. She stood back up and dusted off. A tear was in her eye. She clenched her beak and Pip resolved to give it one more try. She focused on the fruit above. She breathed in long and deep. She spread her feathered wings and ran, then took a giant leap. One said, "That's impossible! We aren't meant for flight!" But Pip did fly. She reached the fruit and took a juicy bite. One by one, Pip took each bird and showed them how to fly. No longer stuck down on the ground, their home was now the sky.
So when somebody tells you you can't do it, you just remember Pip. If you'd all please stand and form arches and sing the children out as they go to their arty class. Oh. Let's suddenly start singing. Oh yeah, we have words. Sorry. Well, I'd like to introduce Josh again, and he's just going to play some music for us. This is from the Daily Affirmation book, Believing in Myself, by Ernie Larson and Carol Haggerty. Flowers leave part of their fragrance in the hands of those who bestow them. Just a Chinese proverb. It is a paradox that the more we give away, the more we have. Not in money, perhaps, but certainly in character and self-esteem. When we are thinking of others, we are much less likely to be worrying about ourselves. There's a double payoff. True giving asks no return. There is no remembering, no expectation, no greediness for gratitude. And none of us is too poor to give love, respect, attention, encouragement, time, caring, assistance, compassion. These busy days, perhaps the most precious gift we have to offer our family and friends is the gift of listening. And we can never give the gift of attention without being repaid in deeper understanding. What we give comes back to us. Scripture tells us to bear one another's burdens. Experience tells us that it is impossible for a generous heart to give away more than it gets. To ease another's pain is to ease our own. This morning we are grateful for all your gifts to this congregation and to the world. The host would please come forward to collect our offering. Thank you for your financial gifts this morning. If you would please join me in our affirmation of gratitude and giving.
Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may earn.
So Josh actually has a composed or brought with him a song that he calls a gratitude song. And so it's appropriate, and he's willing to play it for us. So Josh, take it away.
Okay. They may put some lyrics. If you feel like you can follow along with me, by all means, feel free to sing. But this is it's called Peace, Love, Shanti, Om. And it is a form of devotion worship song. Expressing gratitude.
Peace, love, Shanti, Om, Alleluia, Amen. Peace, love, Shanti, Hallelujah.
And we'll repeat that.
Peace, love, Shanti, Om. Hallelujah. Amen. Peace, love, Shanti, Om. Hallelujah. Amen.
All right, I'm going to set up the verse here. Each one of these next lines starts with gratitude. So it goes like this. Gratitude. Aho. Next one. Gratitude. Shalom. Lovely, everybody. Thank you.
Gratitude. Gratitude.
Next slide.
my home, and so it is. Peace, love, Shanti, Om.
more time, repeat that.
Peace, love, Shanti, Om. Alleluia, Amen. Peace, love, Shanti, Om. Alleluia, Amen.
Oh, that was lovely. Never done that with a church before, so. You're the first.
Aw. Thanks, Josh. So, community, gathering together. Each of us walks in the door today holding with us our lives that exist outside of this room, comprised of the many, many, many years and thousands of experiences that have made us each a unique individual. Lately, for some of us, things have been awesome and wonderful. We have great news and amazing things are happening. For others of us, we don't know who is who. Things have maybe been tougher, uncertain, maybe surprises that we would rather not have had, or fear, many other things that we carry with us. So today we have an opportunity to let some of that go. Let the beauty go and spread to others. Let the pain go and spread to others so they may share it and lift you up. If you're new here, we have a practice. So we have stones at the front of the room and some water. To me, the stones are a chance to really transfer that energy, whether it be something positive or something challenging, into the stones. And by the way, Native Americans and others use similar traditions. And let it go into the water. As the stone sinks into the water, just think about that being you being surrounded. As the water surrounds the stone, being surrounded by the people in this room and the community that's all around you. If you'd approach from the right side and go back down your right and go back down your left, I will have a microphone. If you have a few words to say, you're welcome to, but certainly not required.
It's our 57th wedding anniversary.
A stone for supreme gratitude. I've received some great blessings lately, and I'm so thankful. And a tiny bit of frustration in this.
I see.
My hearing aids died, and I can't get an appointment until October, so please bear with me when I keep saying, what?
As I let go of lots I love, and healing and letting myself rest, as well as new opportunities, fresh growth, and something wonderful to happen.
This stone is in celebration of a joyful week.
In gratitude for all the riches this community has given to me and to Dave Haupt's incredible sound gifts.
motion.
From a failed relationship, and I'm reaching out.
Trying to let go from a family member who doesn't want to love me back. It just took me 50 years to realize that.
For Toby, Brad, Sean, and Mark.
I can walk.
Sorry, Uva, she can chase you down now. One last stone each for joys and sorrows that went unsaid today. Or for anyone who's not here. Now we'll take a moment of silence for prayer, reflection, or meditation as you wish. Thank you. And now Josh will have a reading. Oh, yeah, I'm right. Josh, it's up to you. You want to do your reading and then come on up, or however you want to do it.
I'll come up. Grab my coffee cup here. I got a cool coffee cup downstairs. I like your collection.
You're already a woofer if you're carrying your coffee around with you.
There's a spiritual axiom on the cup. It says, it's a jungle out there. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sings. Owee! All right. I'm going to do this reading that I had queued up earlier. It's really kind of a prayer affirmation. It's called The Melody of Human Brotherhood by Paramahansa Yogananda, a spiritual teacher that I follow and like a lot. And it goes like this. Heavenly Spirit, we are traveling by many right roads to thine abode of light. Guide us onto the highway of self-knowledge, to which all paths of true religion, religious beliefs eventually lead. The diverse religions are branches of thine one immeasurable tree of truth. May we enjoy the luscious fruits of soul realization that hang from the boughs of scriptures of every clime and time. Teach us to chant in harmony the countless expression of our supreme devotion in thy temple of the earth, in a chorus of many accented voices, we are singing only to thee. O Divine Mother, lift us on thy lap of universal love, break thy vow of silence and sing to us the heart-melting melody of human brotherhood. I like that one as a musician, so thanks so much. All right. Well, hello. Again, fancy seeing you here. Well, what a lovely piano and space you have here. My name is Josh Rawlings, and I'm just very delighted to be doing this. This is really kind of a first of this nature, where I'm able to share more of my story and how I've transformed with my spirituality, and clearly see that I love music. I grew up in the church. I'll do a little bit of background. As Brad said, well, I'll go first. Yes, I'm a Grammy-nominated pianist. Many of you, if you haven't looked up my name online, I've worked with Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. They're a rap duo out of Seattle. So I'm their piano player. I'm also a trained jazzman, so I went to Cornish College of the Arts in Seattle and got my degree as a jazz pianist. But from a very early age, basically age 3 is when I got my first keyboard from my parents. And I mean, even before that, I was holding the moment I could hold kitchen utensils in my hands, I was banging on pots and pans. So I think the piano was meant to be a little bit more of a kinder, less abrasive sound in the house. My dad was a drummer. My mom sang and played flute. It was a very musical family, but I had the music bug. And so, anyways, music has been a part of my journey from, the moment I came to the earth, I suppose. And it's brought me some incredible successes that I never really could have imagined. But the key thing was determination. Just follow your passion. And I don't have to know exactly how it's all going to unfold. So I was very fortunate to meet Macklemore and Ryan Lewis later on in my career and have the success that I have had. So as I said, started music at 3. I grew up in the Twin Cities of Minnesota, so I'm a Midwesterner transplant. I found out the rich secret of the Northwest, and I haven't left. It is so beautiful. And I love the beautiful nature that you have all around your church. This is so beautiful. I feel like I'm tucked away at a special retreat already. So I grew up in the Lutheran Christian denomination. I was baptized in the church. And I went through confirmation in middle school. By the way, I'm going to take my... Well, I see there's a clock there, but I just want to make sure I'm not getting too long-winded. Put it out. There we go. I grew up in the church. I didn't feel very close to the church, though, which was interesting. Like, as you can tell with music, it's very special for me. That was my spiritual connection, was the Holy Spirit that I felt. And I could see how music stirred the congregation. So I was immediately, like, excited to play with the worship band. I wanted to figure out how to play those cool chords and get gospel and say, hallelujah, everybody on their feet. You know, it's like I wanted the Blues Brothers moment, okay? So, do you see the light? So I grew up in the church, and I would say that for me, growing up in the church, it was more about image management. It was more about people-pleasing. It was a codependent kind of thing. Yes, there was a community, and it was special, and I have some good memories, but I didn't really... It wasn't modeled for me what spirituality really meant. It was really kind of just going through the motions. And so I grew up with a lot of shame from the sinner trauma and not being good enough, feeling like God was always looking down on and shaking his or her its finger at me. And that doesn't feel good. And so naturally I feel like I just never really had that close spiritual connection. And I never really created a practice beyond the image management, saying the prayers before every meal and before I went to bed at night. So then at the start of high school, I moved out. My dad got a job as a computer tech consultant. It was really the boom of the internet, the dot-com bubble. And I went to Skyline High School out in Sammamish in the east side of Seattle. And it was a brand new school. They had a brand new arts department, brand new music department. Everything was brand new. And then I didn't have to worry about being the new kid, per se. Everyone was new. They were all kind of coming from different schools. And it was just a ripe time to get deep into fostering more of my creative passions. And we did, when my family moved out, my mom, dad, and I moved out, we did start going to some Lutheran churches, but it didn't stick because we didn't have the family to behold us to, hey, we didn't see you last Sunday. It was just like, well, thank God for that. That's funny. I cracked myself up. But we did have friends that were from the Midwest. The rest of my family obviously stayed back in the Midwest. And they were Unitarian Universalists. And they went to the university Unitarian Church. And what I liked about that experience was it felt way more open. And I was hearing more about the world religions. Honestly, I have a confession to make. I didn't know Mormonism existed until I moved out here. It's like I was so sheltered. It was like Catholicism, Christianity, that's it. That was it. It was this bread and butter Midwest kind of blinders on. So going to high school, I naturally started to learn about the world and other religions in the Northwest. But the thing that I didn't quite like about the Unitarian Church that we went to is it still felt to me at that time like boring old church. I was getting like the sermon and here I am doing the thing. How ironic. Knock on wood. Be careful what you wish for. But I had to go through a transformation to be able to be mature enough and to feel okay in a spiritual family. And so we didn't really pursue that. Basically, my parents modeled for me their own spiritual practices. For my mom, it was being of service, cooking for friends and family, and hosting warm, loving gatherings at the home. For my dad, it was hiking and communing with nature. And for me, it was still music, jamming with my friends, improvising. I play by ear, and I love to improvise and just jam on the piano. And I feel akin to what some people would call the muse. There's just something flowing through me. I don't know how to really explain it, but when I really give myself to that flow state, if you will, it is just so heavenly. I lose my whole sense of self, and I go with it. I lose myself in the music and the good vibes. So it was later in high school and basically started college that I started learning about Eastern thought, meditation, yoga. They actually had a yoga class that I did in high school, and a fun, just a side memory. After the class, when people were laying in Savasana, they did it in the music room. And so I don't know if I asked the teacher permission. I'm sure I did. But I helped myself to the piano. And all my fellow classmates, they would love laying underneath a piano while I play, just kind of like I did for the little rock dropping thing that you did, the Joys and Sorrows. And that was really special. I'm getting lit up just thinking about that. And like that was just a seed planted along the pathway of my musical evolution that really brought me here today. It's like there was some sort of healing spiritual force that people gravitated towards. And as another aside, I'm happy to share, I'm actually going back to school. I have my degree in jazz piano performance, but I'm now pursuing a master's degree, and hopefully a doctorate in music therapy. So talk about a whole wild, I never plotted this. I just had a picture of Billy Joel up on my keyboard, and I wanted to be the piano man. I am the piano man, but now I'm like the healing medicine spiritual piano man or something, bearded piano man. Anyways, so it's been quite a journey there. And so at the start of college, my parents started having some relationship troubles, and I think we were all kind of grasping for more, something with more sustenance than just hiking and communion with friends and family as our spiritual practice. And I too, and I was introduced to Eckhart Tolle, Power of Now, by my dad. And I had interest in philosophical and spiritual ideas, and I think I just needed more of those tools. But I started battling a lot of insecurities, as one does, you know, throughout their young adult life. Part of my concoction or bag of woe, if you will, were insecurities, not feeling like I was ever good enough, comparison to other people that maybe were better sight readers or better looking and blah, blah, blah. So I also come from a family of chronic future trippers. Any future trippers and worry warts in the audience? Don't raise your hand. Don't have to. Me. And I had a lot of past and current trauma from my family dysfunction that there was no way for me to really see it. I just felt it, and I didn't know what to do with it. So the closest tool at that point in time, besides sort of dipping my toe in the power of now and learning how to be more present, was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And that was what I call my spiritual detour. My life slowly got busier and more chaotic and just due to the unmanageability of that sort of lifestyle. I stayed in the merry-go-round trying to find better ways to live, lose weight, feel good in my own skin, climb the ladder and build my career as a professional musician, seek companionship and the like. For pretty much 18 years, like high school until I started a family. I met the mother of my children in 2010 at a jam session I hosted in Seattle for many years. We got married and had three beautiful children. And then now we'll get to the interesting twist. So I call this God, G-O-D, gift of desperation. Sometimes God comes in many different forms. And for me, it reached a turning point where I could not ignore the writing on the wall that, Josh, life is not going quite as you planned. And I had that moment where I just connected with my eyes in the mirror, and I just didn't feel well in my body. They say I was sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. And so that was a turning point where I started to really humble myself and reach out to a community of like-minded people that helped show me a better way to live. And things were going a lot better once I got on that path and started making my spiritual growth a priority. But then there was another interesting twist. As I was getting healthier, probably due to the codependent underpinnings of my family system, my marriage started to fall apart. And that was after the pandemic. And I unfortunately separated from my wife and children in the spring of 2021. And that's when everything fell apart. I was sober. I was living better. I was working on myself. But then the fear of everyone that I cared and loved rejecting me, which I think was really kind of that primal core fear, came true in a sense. And that was, I think, what I would call like the death of my ego, or the false self that was so attached to others, people, places, and things validating me and giving me my love. I never was taught how to love myself, really. And I don't know, even if I was sort of modeled for it, if a rock hit me in the head, you know, it's like it just didn't make any sense, because I grew up in that family system in the Midwest where it was scorekeeping, and it was, we got our love by doing good deeds and the strings attached. It was just absolutely unmanageable and unrealistic. So, wow, where does the time go? It's going to ring at me here. So I don't want to get too long-winded, but basically that turning point really, really helped open my eyes to, Josh, it's an inside job. I get emotional. And that was the biggest blessing of my life, because I was no longer it was either basically the crossroads, I'm going to die because of this fear of like all these people that I love and tell me they love me, which was never enough anyways, was crumbling, or I'm going to figure out a way with my community and new spiritual gumption to learn how to love myself. How I did that, learning to love. Well, I'm grateful to stand here today and say I chose the other path to choose to love myself. I got help. I sought a tribe of like-minded people who showed me the way to heal and love me until I could actually love myself. So, let's see here. Where am I? I learned many self-care, affirming, caring, esteemable tools and disciplines of self-love in this process. I made myself a priority out of that desperation to live and be my true self. So what I want to share with you, the good news, is whatever your story is and whatever you may relate to what I've shared, I believe this is basically the human journey for all of us. Some call it the hero's journey. Some call this the school of life. Some call it karma, evolution, Big Bang, yada, 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 list goes on. There is this progression that it seems like we all have to go. No one seems to get out of life scratch-free or immune from life's trials and tribulations. It's definitely not for the faint of heart, so buckle up, buttercup. It takes a lot of work and courage, and we need tools to help us, right? We need tools, and we need community, which is part of those tools. So now I want to share some of the most impactful tools that have worked wonders for me. When I became sincere and willing to try them, things actually happened. I became my own mad scientist, willing to put love to the test. And I'm very happy with the results I've got so far. So some of the things that I wanted to share with you today that Brad was excited when I shared this at a retreat back this last spring was my meditation practice, breathing techniques. They have absolutely helped connect me to what I would call like a higher power or a connection to the universe and others. But really, it helped that inside job. It helped that inside job to really get in tune with Josh and love Josh. For my daily prayer and meditation, what that looks like basically is I follow practices. That took its own evolution. It started basically walking out in beautiful nature like this out in Kingston, Washington. I was across the Puget Sound with my wife and kids at the time. And I would just go out in nature and do some nice slow walk, get in touch with my breath, observe plants, and the leaves blowing in the wind, and there were some park benches. Eckhart Tolle was a big fan of just sitting on a park bench and just observing the power of now. So that was basically when I learned about the power of now and Eckhart Tolle's practices, but I never practiced it. I sat on the corner of contempt prior to investigation and just non-action. Well, that didn't really do anything for me. It didn't do any test results there. So I became willing, and along the way, I started noticing like feathers on the ground. Feathers now have some very spiritual meaning to me. There's a lot of indigenous Native American presence out on the Kitsap Peninsula, and of course all around us, and I started feeling more connected to that. So long story short, that's kind of where meditation started for me, but it evolved into this place within the last number of years where I wanted to learn some more specific techniques. So I'm going to grab this chair. You know, you've seen a lot of like Eastern type yogis sit in lotus or half lotus or just cross-legged. That is definitely one way you can sit. But I think I always like meditated where, you know, I was just like slumping or just kind of, so much of it for me was like learning just how to sit with my spine erect comfortably and just get my hands into a comfortable position like this, and where I can just start to, and the reason for the erect spine is so that we don't actually start to drift off into sleep. meditation for me as I've gotten more and more comfortable in the silence, and I love the meditation time that you guys had. I started to increase that silence and getting comfortable, literally just seeing all the thoughts parade around. Look at this, look at what you have to do tomorrow, and what about this past regret, and blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, I'm just going to sit here, watch it all. I'm sure you've heard about many different types of meditations. Just basically becoming present in my thoughts and letting them all quiet down. And what I love about it is it's very special time for me. In the morning and at night, I spend at least 2 to 20 minutes, depending on what I really am able to commit to. And bookending my day that way has allowed me to navigate the world and whatever it throws at me for a given day with a lot more calm, a lot more peace. And so I really stand by meditation just as a day-to-day practice, no matter what you decide to explore or dip into, for me has produced the most tangible results of inner peace and love. And so, you know, I'll just sit in silence and connect to a God of my understanding, but also just really feeling my body and all these things in a state of just complete stillness. And it's a beautiful practice. I know I'm kind of running out of time, so I'll just kind of go through these other practices a little bit more quickly. Breath work has also proven to be very, very helpful. And I would say almost before, if any of you don't meditate, breath work, just slow inhales. Everybody maybe try this with me as you're sitting. I'll display it for you. It's a tool that I learned through other recovery people, and it really does work. Anytime I'm fearing something, this really helps my future tripping and catastrophication, and it gets me present. If you just put like one hand on your heart and one hand on your belly, so the belly you want to expand like a big accordion, and just comfortably, and you just take a slow inhale and feel that belly expand and let out the breath. Inhale. Exhale. One more. Inhale. Exhale. I already feel calmer. I don't know about you all, but I just love that. That is a total body hack, and it has helped me so much navigate so much fear and worry that it's an anxiety and stress, and it's helped me center myself. The last few things that I'd like to share is, as I shared, and what you have here right in front of you, all around you, is a community of like-minded fellows. People who are working on themselves, who are kind, compassionate, understanding, and will lift you up and keep your head above water. That has been paramount for me to be able to, and they reflect the type of person that they see that I am and that I'm becoming. It's really, really, really important. And then, of course, healthy self-care and routines sends a direct message to me, to my innermost self, that I care about myself. I'm going to feed myself with good foods. I'm going to exercise my body, my mind, and my spirit. I'm going to floss my teeth. I'm going to try my best to stay on a sleep schedule. I'm learning how to say no and really mean it. No is a complete sentence. All these sorts of things. And then finally, I'll just share affirmations. You know, looking at my eyes in the mirror or writing little sticky notes. My computer desktop monitor's covered in sticky notes like, Josh, you're a worthy, lovable human being. Or you are the best version of yourself today. Things like that. That just send that really kind. It's, and at the end of the day, it's almost like a loving parent. Like that whole thing that we just did together, putting a hand on the heart and hand on the belly, feels like I'm being hugged by my mother or father when I'm a baby. And it's just so loving and caring to myself. So these are the sorts of things, and it felt very woo-woo, but when you're given a gift of desperation, and it doesn't need to be given, you don't have to have a gift of desperation before you actually try these things. But they can really help motivate you. Finally, education. I read a lot of spiritual and therapeutic books, self-help books, and listen to lots of great podcasts. People, meditation teachers like Muji, Ram Dass, all sorts of people that have a lot of great wisdom, and I just try to approach it with an open mind and an open heart, and I take what I like and I leave the rest. And last but not least, top lines and self-care practices. I love to go surfing. I've got my surfboard in the car, and I'm about to go out to the coast after this talk. Well, first I'm going to go out to brunch with Brad. And obviously I love music. I love coffee, especially iced coffees in the summer, and hiking, exercise, drinking plenty of water, getting good rest. And it's these types of tools that have really transformed my life. So thank you so much for letting me share these tools and tips. And I just, I'm filled with gratitude, and I love you all, and I wish you all the best on your journey. I'll be open for questions afterwards. So.
Thank you, Josh. And we're going to get every minute out of this man we can, and he has a closing song he's going to take us out with that he wrote, and I'll let him take it from here.
All right. Test, test, test. Hello, hello. Can you hear me?
No.
Can you take him up, please?
Test, test. Oh, there we go. All right. Well, this song is a fun tune that I wrote, little jazzy, bluesy song called Happy, Joyous, and Free. Again, like the one I did earlier, the gratitude song. Feel free to sing along if you can kind of pick up the melody. I'll try to go slowly because there's kind of a lot of words. So. Yes, I'm happy, joyous, and free. Living with sweet serenity. I was lost, but now I'm found. Yes, Lord, I'm so grateful to have my feet upon the solid ground. Yes, I dance and I must sing. Happy bells, the bells do ring. I was lost, but now I'm found. Yes, Lord, I'm so thankful to have my feet upon darkest night. Oh, I'm free, so free. Look at me, smiling. I'm here, back on the beam. Oh, how it seems love is grooving again. God is blessing all of my days, loving me in so many ways. All right. I was blind, but now I see. Yes, Lord, I'm so grateful to have happy, joyous, and free.
Go to the bridge.
I'm free, so free. Look at me, smiling. I'm here, back on the beam. Oh, how it seems love is grooving again. God is blessing all of my days, loving me in so many ways. I was blind, but now I see. Yes, Lord, I'm so grateful to be happy, joyous, and free. Oh, yeah, happy, joyous, and free. Yeah, happy, joyous, and free. Oh, yeah.
A happy joy is free. Everybody now. A happy joy is free. Oh, yes, we are happy, joyous, and free. We're feeling it
up.
Here.
Stand happy up, y'all. We joyous. What was that on the high note?
Oh, yeah. Happy, joyous, and free. Oh, a happy, joyous, and free. Happy, joyous, and free. A happy, joyous, and free. Happy, joyous, and free.
That's all right. I can play like that. We extinguish this flame to remind us love is the center. As we explore and rest, engage and heal, love remains the center. When all we can see is cold ashes, love remains.
Carry the flame of peace.